Unibet. Episode 112. Greg Ireland, Head Coach, Kunlun Red Star.
I'm not a Canadian coach anymore. I'm a Canadian on my passport. I'm an international coach. I've coached all over the world in the Champions League a number of times. I've traveled to different countries on my own money to just spend time with other coaches and watch teams. Why do you do it? How do you do this? Why do you do it? And I've stolen. I've taken, I call it R&D, rob and deploy. I've taken those things and added it to my system, my teaching methods. And now coming to Russia, I think I've come full circle.
Die Tribüne erhebt sich. Und der Hexenkessel kocht. Da bleibt kein Moment, um einmal durchzuatmen. Bring it on. Mit dem Torhänder abgefälscht und die Scheibe im Tor. Aus dem Nichts. Wie schön war das gemacht.
Unibet Hockey. O'Clock. The last time we saw him on European soil, it was at the World Championships in May in Finland. Now he's gone on to one of the bigger hockey adventures I'd imagine in his career. He's a dear old friend of Unibet Hockey O'Clock. He's a bright hockey mind, and it's always a pleasure having him on the show and talking hockey with him. It's, of course, none other than Kunlun Red Star head coach Greg Ireland. Coach, great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's always great to catch up and see you and talk hockey and just talk about life.
Coach, how does it sound when I say you're the head coach of Kunlun Red Star? And if I've told you that like five years ago, what would you have said about your future self?
Well, I can tell you that about 5 years ago, this opportunity was there. To come here and I was in Switzerland at the time and it didn't happen. I've stayed in good stead with the people here and the GM that's here, I've worked with in the past. So he knows my work. I know his, and through that we've known each other probably going on 35 years. But we know each other very well. And he actually came to Lugano to recruit me. I stayed at my apartment and that, and, you know, I stayed in Lugano for another year, but, I didn't really think it was going to happen. I really liked Central Europe. I really like Europe. I really do. It's been a godsend to come over here and coach and in the different leagues. And I should have done it earlier. You know, we all chase that dream and the coach in the NHL, and I got five games in the NHL, and, you know, and then I just decided that, you know, I would go back and try major junior. I probably at that point should have came to Europe, but I really like Central Europe and I've enjoyed it. But this is, as you talked about earlier, this has been a great adventure here.
It's perfect that you're alluding to it as an adventure. I want to dig deeper as regards the adventure. I want to dig deeper as regards the Continental Hockey League. And of course, I want to dig a little deeper as regards everything that's going on a political landscape. But just to back it up a little bit, the last time we saw you as a coach in the Ice Hockey League was with Bolzano, where you were ousted in the pre-playoffs against Klagenfurt. Afterwards, you went to Finland to coach Team Italy, which unfortunately was relegated to the Division 1A. What happened in between you being relegated, moving on to new endeavors, and touching down with Kunlun Red Star?
Well, I already knew at the end of the year, I after the previous year, I was not going to go back to Bolzano. They had contacted me right at the end of October. I had flown over to Italy to get ready for the national team, do some scouting with Stefan Zisser, who has become one of my best friends anywhere. I think the world of that man, love him. And that we were getting ready that afternoon to go to a game, and I got a call from Pat Curcio saying, hey, they're thinking about firing the coach in Bolzano. Would you go back? I said, absolutely not. I'm good with what I'm doing. I had my experience there. Loved it. Loved the players. I think it was, you know, the message was there to move on. And during that same time I was there, within a couple of weeks, I was offered the Linz job and another job in the league, which I won't get into. And I just said, no, I'm good right now. I thought I would hold out, wait and see. And then, after the November camp with Italy, I went back home, and then Christmas was coming and I got another call from Italy and from Bolzano. I said, nah. And then I talked to Pat Curcio again and I decided I would go back. And the team was much different than the team that I had got there. It was not in a great state of mind. But going in, it was good. We had a good reception. I think we were on a pretty good roll. And then I'll be honest with you, we got hit by COVID and everyone was getting hit. We were holding out, which was at the beginning. I was like, oh, this is great. We're not getting COVID. Everyone else is. But it was the worst thing that could happen because when we got COVID, the league was under pressure to get the games done. And we had been, I think, 7 to 9 days. And we had myself and half the team out. So we only had 9 skaters and 1 goalie. And the league itself said, no, you have to start playing. Where other teams had had 2-3 weeks to remake these games, we were told that if we didn't make the trip to Klagenfurt with anybody that we could get, including we don't care, dress your backup goalie as a D was the comments from the league, you will forfeit the game. So we had a choice. We could go to Klagenfurt and embarrass the league and ourselves and just put 9 guys on the ice, drop the puck and stand there and let my players get hurt. Or we could not show and lose points, which broke my heart, but we had no other choice. We didn't have the players and they felt that we had all these players listed on our rosters from the Alps League, but they're not our players. They're not under contract to us as the Salzburg guys would be, as you know, the teams that in that league that have an Alps League that they own. These players are contracted by the Cortinas and the Fasses, and they, you know, they're trying to get in the Italia Cup and they're playing and their teams wouldn't let us have them. So unfortunately, we came back out of that. We played a game in Innsbruck trying to come back. We hadn't even practiced, lost that game. First time we've lost to Innsbruck since I'd been there. Credit to them. They won the game. But we just didn't come out of it again after that. We had we lagged from still maybe having COVID in us just having it. The boys we lost 9 points due to forfeit. And it was a bad mental state for the group. And we didn't play great hockey coming out of that. But prior to that, we were going really well. We were playing very good and we were in the top 4 and we dropped from that top 4 or 5. And we dropped from that down to where we were in the pre-playoffs. So no excuses. Everybody's had to deal with some COVID stories and it's not great, but that's kind of what happened. So I was frustrated and said, you know, I think this is my time here is done. And I went through that and we went to the World Championships with Italy. To be honest with you, it was a real disappointment to go down, but I'm proud of that group. We played extremely, extremely well. We were conditioned. We went 2 weeks to FASA to do high altitude training. We beat Austria and France in exhibition. We went in and we had some really close games. The one that hurt us was losing to France. That was the game we had to win. And with 59 seconds left, we were winning that game 1-0. Going back to the exhibition game, we beat them 1-0. So to beat a team that you haven't beaten in a long time, twice 1-0, we were flirting with disaster. And sure enough, with less than a second, we made a mistake in our ending coverage. Puck ends up in our net and they beat us in overtime. And but having said that, the boys played extremely well. And for a team like Italy with low numbers, declining numbers, to go to the A pool and survive there and do well, it's a difficult task. And I'm proud of the work we did with Italy. I'm proud of the guys and how they played. We played Slovakia hard. We played Denmark really hard, lost 2-1. The guys just did a great job. We played well against Canada. All the coaches and teams were coming up just raving about how hard our guys worked, how cohesive they were. So I was disappointed in the result, but most especially really proud of my team. And quite honestly, I knew at the end that was probably, I had already had right before we were already in Finland and Helsinki, and I had one team from the KHL call and interview me and ask me if I would come. I really wasn't sure. I didn't foresee it. And then I already had for a few weeks been talking with Kunlun, with their GM, Scott McPherson. And Scott said, hey, be prepared when the Helsinki's done. I'm going to give you the respect of backing off until it's done, but I'm going to make you an offer. I want you to come coach my team. And So I kind of knew that it was there, and I knew my time with Italy was coming to an end, which was sad because I really enjoyed it. I was proud of being the coach there and proud of that. But after it was over, I talked to Stefan. I kept Stefan aware of everything that was going on at the time. And when it was over, I talked to him, and he said, "Hey, do me a favor. Don't put your resignation in yet. I want to see how we can try to make this work." And then when July came and hit, I knew that it wasn't going to work. I looked at the schedules. There was no March. There was no November, February breaks in the KHL this year. And I just told Steph, as much as it's going to break my heart to say no, I have to step aside. And so that's kind of what happened. And as July rolled around, Scott was very persistent in coming. In fact, flew to Canada. He was in the States at the time, flew up to Canada, spent 6 days at my house. I'd actually said no right before that. I said, "No, I think I'm going to back away and step aside from this." And he said, "Don't be crazy. This is the KHL. It's the second best league in the world. If you have reservations about coming to Russia, this is a Chinese owned and run team. That's basically an extension of the national team. So there's nothing to that." And so we came to the house, we sat down, and we spent 6 days talking about how we would try to reboot this program and get it going. And that's when I decided to do it.
As always, your honesty is much appreciated. Bolzano, and the way and at the time when COVID did hit the Foxes, is one of the great what ifs of the past season. What if Bolzano had stayed healthy? What if Bolzano had a full squad at its disposal? And obviously you're talking to an Austrian, so it's no shame to being relegated, or there's no shame in being relegated to Division 1A. We've kind of known that fate for the past decade and a half. But when you sat down and when you thought about going to the Continental Hockey League with everything going on politically in the world, with Russia's war against Ukraine, with you knowing that there are a whole lot of Western sanctions in Russia, that there is an exodus of North American players in the Continental Hockey League, what made you decide on heading there, on heading to Kunlun? I know a China-based and China-operated team, but because of COVID restrictions in China, you're still based in Russia, in Mitishi, couple of miles or a couple of kilometers north of Moscow. What ultimately made you decide, okay, I'll take on this adventure?
Well, first of all, just before I get into that part, Martin, I love Italy. Like I'm still doing my Italian lessons every day. I'm almost on day 400 in a row, my streak, and I'm getting better. And it started with my time in Lugano. I love the country. I love visiting. I love Central Europe and I like Austria, but I really like it and I enjoy it. It's a place I'll always continue to go back, and I have some great friends there and great memories. So it'll never leave me. It'll always be peace in my heart, and it'll be a place where I continue to return to every year. But coming here, I thought long and hard of it. When the first offer came from the other team in the league, I started to ask around. I called some people I know in the National Hockey League. I called some friends around Europe that I know that are GMs. And I said, "Listen, how will this reflect down the road? Because I'm not sure what to do here." And everybody to a person said, "Listen, we're in the hockey business. Plenty of things go on in the political world continuously, but hockey continues. We continue to go on and on and on. And your job is not to be a politician. You're a hockey coach feeding your family. You're doing these things." And, you know, in fact, one GM said to me in this way, he said, "Look, there's a couple of players in that KHL I want. They're staying there because they have really good contracts and they can't afford to come here. And this is a good league we're talking." And he said, "But I'm going to continue to try to bring them here because they're good players. And they're simply there applying the craft. That's all they've known all their life. You know, they're not sitting in on policy meetings. They're not sitting on any of this stuff." And another guy said to me, "Greg, I look at it this way. You know, I'm from the United States, yet when the United States, you know, invaded Syria, was involved in the Gulf Wars, you know, we didn't stop going and working in New York City. We, you know, people didn't stop, you know, going from other countries to live and work in the U.S. And I don't look at it. I lived in the U.S. and I think it's a great country. And I'm one step away from my green card if I choose to go back to work there. at the end of the day, what I decided when I talked to people was that I'm not a politician. I don't know all the things that are going on behind the scenes and how they came to this. I think I'm a humanitarian, and that I believe that we should all get along. These borders and barriers that we have and these ongoing disputes, you know, from the stuff in the Middle East to Northern Ireland, where my ancestry is from, it's not good. War is not good. Nobody benefits from that. Nobody wants to see anybody occupying or invading this stuff. But it's far greater minds than me that are behind the scenes and know the real goings on and stuff. So I just chose to make a hockey decision that when I made it after those phone calls, I thought this hockey decision will affect my friends and family. So I went to them, and I went to my boys, and I went to my wife, and I went to my parents and my brothers and sisters and my in-laws, my sister-in-law, and, you know, some of my close nephews and some really close friends. And I said, listen, I'm thinking about taking this job. Do you think this will affect you in a negative way? Do you think that this is something that will have pushback to you? And they said, no. They almost said very similar things to me, and not at all. You know, you've lived all over the world, and you've embraced everywhere you've been. You are respectful of people. And I'm actually I'm really intrigued by other cultures and other histories. And so they've always respected that. And they told me, no, jump in with both feet and do what you do. So I gave plenty of thought to that. And since I've been here, I can tell you that I've had dinner twice at the Canadian ambassador's house with the ambassador to Russia. And her and I had some pretty in-depth discussions over a couple glasses of wine about all this. And, you know, she's there, and it was kind of funny. There was a report that came out from the Canadian media that somebody in the Liberal government from Justin Trudeau's cabinet or something, a minister, said that all hockey players in Russia should return immediately and explain to the Canadian people why are we here doing this? We placed a call to the ambassador and said, is this true? Are you leaving? Should we leave? And she said, no, not at all. I'm here. I'm still here. We're doing this. And you guys are hockey players. This has nothing to do with you. And she said, it's the same with me. Until the day they call me out, I'm doing my job. So I look at it that the Canadian government has a presence, is still doing business in Russia, is still doing things under the scenes, and they don't have to explain themselves, and they're doing their thing. And that's at the political level. And, you know, we were supposed to have a Christmas dinner on New Year's Eve at her house. Things change because not everyone can make it. So we're going to do it next week again at the Canadian embassy. So I'm doing things in good standing with my country at the political level. Maybe it's more of a statement of, I have friends all over the world. I have Russian friends who have done nothing wrong. They are not soldiers. They are not. And I'm supporting everybody, saying that I'm in support of everybody just, you know, getting this done and fixed and everybody getting along and putting an end to all this. But at the same time, I'm just trying to do my job and do it the best I can.
I guess your answer just shows how loaded this topic is, how you can tackle it from various directions, and just the sheer fact that Canada has still got diplomatic relations with Russia, that you're in good spirits and good faith with your home country, is a good thing. And this is, at the very end of the day, a hockey podcast and not a political podcast. So I'll leave the political component at this time of the conversation.
Say one other thing, sure. I think one of the things since I've been here is I get a lot of calls and messages from friends. Are you safe? Are you okay? You know, are you? I can tell you that I've never felt safer anywhere in my life. Like walking in Moscow at night or anywhere, going from our travels, the people are so engaging and so nice, and we don't see anything like that. And I think some of the stuff that my friends and family have heard since I've been here back home has been a lot of media propaganda, from that Western side, to try to paint that. So I'm not saying right or wrong either way. And as you said, let's put an end to that. But you know, if I chose to run for politics, and that's another story, but I have an opportunity to coach a Chinese team. They're in the KHL, the second best team and second best league in the world. There's a lot of Canadians still here. We have a lot of Canadians and Americans on our team. We have a Slovakian. We have a different mix in our group, and we're just all trying to do the best thing we can and do the right thing. And maybe at the same time, as I think we're trying to send some goodwill ambassadorship across the globe too.
As stated, we'll leave the political component out of the hockey conversation. I wanna get to Kunlun and the organization that you're working for. If someone out there has never heard of the Continental Hockey League, has never heard of Kunlun Red Star, how would you describe the organization to that person?
Well, first of all, the Continental Hockey League, the KHL, as it's known by its short form, has been known as the second best league in the world. And it's one of the top leagues and one of the top producers of NHL talent. And there's some young players in this league that have just been drafted. We have two Russian players that are young boys that we're developing that have been drafted by Montreal, and another was drafted by Carolina. And there's some great talent here. And you've seen the talent that's been put into the National Hockey League and around the world. So it's a fast, dynamic, skilled hockey league. The Kunlun team has been going for 7 years. It was put together to try to develop a national team program for China to get to the world stage. Number one, they hosted the Olympics last year. And they still want to continue to try to create an Olympic presence, develop this team and get stronger. They won their pool championships to move up a pool last year, and they're going to try to make another run at it this year to try to keep moving up the ladder. And they're developing. They have a lot of, as a few teams in Austria have, and as you know, that Bolzano has the Italian Canadians and Americans. There's a lot of Chinese Canadians and Americans on our squad who helped represent China at the Olympics last year and continue to play with us, and we have more coming. So the job here is yes, to be competitive in the Continental Hockey League, but it's also to help develop players for the national program. When I got here, I won't lie to you, the team had finished last in the league last year. They had lost 22 straight to finish the season. Have some great players and some great young men, some really good people, but the team culture was not strong. It wasn't, you know, a lot of stability, accountability. And the other part was, you know, as I alluded to, I got the job the first week of July, didn't get here till July 28th. Meanwhile, most KHL teams had already been on the training camp for 2 to 3 weeks. We didn't get our training camp going till the third week of August. So we were 5 to 6 weeks behind the Russian teams, who are known for their excruciating training camp, extenuated training camps that are hard, long, difficult, but build strong, fit, fast skating teams. So we started the season. We missed two tournaments. We weren't ready to play. We were to go to Kazakhstan. We couldn't. And we really found until maybe end of November that we were still behind. We still are behind, but we've made some ground up with our team, and it's been hard on them with the travel and the schedule. So the schedule increased to 68 games this year, I think up from 50, if I'm not mistaken. There's no November or February break. So that's put a lot of stress on the players. And maybe the quality of hockey hasn't been good because of the number of games and the frequency and the travel. But for us, we've had to play a lot of catch up. We've had to create a system that's been very difficult. We, you know, I won't lie to you, we didn't look much like a hockey team with a system when we started. And I've had to really drive and be patient and push and demanding. We are really now starting to look like a hockey team. We're really starting to, where we're competitive every single night. We lost yesterday 6-5 in a game. We were winning 5-3 that we were down 2-0 to start, but we absolutely dominated the puck possession in the offensive zone, which we haven't been able to do that. We were living on the back of our goaltending and defense early. We're starting to get our offense. Our power play has been a source of strength. We were flirting around 7th or 8th for a bit. And I can tell you, we don't get a lot of power plays in the league. We don't get a lot of respect from the referees. And we average 1 to 2 a night when we're getting 4, 5, or 6 against us. And, but it is what it is. And, but our guys go out, like yesterday, we got 1 power play, we scored. The game before, we had 2, we didn't. The game before that, we had 1, we scored. You know, so I tell our guys that no matter the time of the game, when we get 1, we have to be ready to go. So that's kind of our program in a nutshell. It's almost like a reboot now. The GM that's here was here before, has just come back. He came back about a month before me, and he wants to reboot and get the program back and build it even stronger, and do it the right way. So that's why he chose to have me come here. And so the challenges are great. We have a lot of players every day. We have 35 guys that skate, you know, 2 groups every day. And it's hard to tell, you know, to tell 10 to 12 guys that they're not in the lineup every night, that they have to remain patient. So the challenges are different, greater, and much harder than I faced anywhere I've ever been. But I think it's something that as a coach, who's been around, I'm ready for, and I'm using it to stretch me. And, you know, I made some mistakes, but I continue to get better and try to handle them better every day.
2 follow-up questions as regards your answer. The first has to do with Chinese hockey. I vividly remember a conversation with an equipment manager or someone who's in business with hockey equipment. And he said, look out for the Winter Olympics in Beijing. Look out for that market. We're talking about 1.5 billion people. We're talking about a country that hasn't been exposed to hockey on a regular basis. Just in a general way, what's the state of hockey in China as far as you can judge?
Well, to this date, I haven't been to China yet. I've been close. We played in Amur and Khabarovsk and Vladivostok, which was very close. But talking to the players, there's communities like in Harbin and some of those areas, but even Beijing, there's a lot of different clubs there. And the clubs tend to try to hold their players, even from the national team, a little bit. So there's still a struggle to get all the top guys together here, playing together. But it's growing. There's a lot of clubs that have, you know, coaches from other parts of Europe and Russia and even North America that are helping grow the game. I still think they're just touching the base of it, but you've seen how speed skating has grown in that country, and it's, you know, they're a threat. As you said, they have a lot of potential athletes out in front of them. It's a matter of making the game grow. And where we talk about goodwill ambassadorship, a number of our games this year have been shown on the #1 station in all of China. And there was a big night where we played CSKA. We actually beat them. We put a few of the homegrown Chinese guys in the lineup, and we beat CSKA, the Russian Red Army team. And that was a huge thing in China, apparently, on the news and, you know, and shown on national TV. So, you know, a lot of our games get broadcast there. And I think that's important. You know, as you know, in any country, when you can have visibility, and that's where Italy faces the problem. They're not on the national TV because it's not a mainstream sport in Italy until they get themselves get clubs in Milan, Torino, and get on national TV. The game will never grow in Italy. And so China's kind of figured that out, and they still have some growing to do. But if they can continue to get it in front of the people, then obviously, you know, your goal is every year, if you can draw 1 to 10 new young men, women to play the game, then all of a sudden your sport's going like this, you know.
You're playing, and you already alluded to it, in a division, the Tarasov division, that's also shown by the Unibet stats, where CSKA, the Red Army club, is the powerhouse that you were able to beat. You talked about the history of Kunlun, not being a downtrodden franchise, but not having had much success in the program's existence. When you come to such a program, when you know that you have to build a lot of things, how are you trying to implement? And I know it's a loaded question, but how are you trying to implement culture, team culture?
Well, that's exactly what our meeting was about today. The the short, the long term, the culture, the building of the program. You know, initially, as a coach, we live in the day to day, and I want to ram that culture down everyone's throat and make sure that we get it and we grow. But it doesn't always work that way. And some of these guys have been here since day one. And this is kind of how they've done it. And they're good young men, and they mean well. And they've got to change habits. And it takes some time to do that. At the same time, it's getting the staff on board. It's getting the we have an owner that owns a team, but then the Chinese Federation has a little bit of say in the team. So having everybody on that same page and getting them working together, it takes some time. And then, obviously, changing the players, from year to year, that's something that I think Scott and myself, depends what I do next year if I'm back. But is adding new players that will help build that culture. But the first thing was creating a work ethic, getting to work to a standard that was strong and high enough. And I always find wherever I go, I've been a few times where I've walked in mid-season. The first thing is mindset. Second thing is work ethic. Third is system. Fourth is cohesiveness. And getting those things in order. And it's been a little longer here going. But we also have some players that, quite honestly, if they didn't have the ability to play in Kunlun, they probably wouldn't be able to play in other teams in the KHL. They would be playing in Norway, Denmark, the Ebel, Alps League. So they have a grand opportunity in front of them. But to play night in, night out against the level of talent that we face against St. Petersburg SKA, CSKA, Dynamo Moscow, Spartak. And we beat all those teams other than SKA, who we were winning with a couple seconds left, and they had got an opportune power play and scored to tie it and beat us in a shootout. Those are the top budgeted teams, in the league. And we beat Omsk. And these are all teams that have won championships in this league in the last 3 years. So we've been showing that we're competitive every night. We've been showing that we're getting closer, that our players' skill level's getting better, that we're slowly getting there, not at the pace I would like, but we're trending upward as opposed to, flatlining or going downward.
I want to get to the season in a little bit, but when one looks at the squad that you put together, there are a lot of well-known names, especially over here on the ice level. There is Devin Boisseau, who played for Dornbirn. There's Colin Campbell, who played for Vienna. There's Vinny Loverdi, who's moved to Russia as a reigning Ice Hockey League champion. But in general, how different and at times maybe how difficult is it to recruit North American talent or talent in general to the Continental Hockey League?
Well, a couple things. First of all, on those three guys, Devin Brosseau, Vinny Lavardi, and Colin Campbell, world-class people, character guys that are just tremendous. Devin came to me through one of my best friends, Jay Woodcroft, who's the coach of the Edmonton Oilers. I'd called him about another player. And he said, hey, I don't want to say nothing bad about that guy, but the guy you should be talking to is Brosseau. He's maybe not a fleet of foot. He's maybe, he played on our third, fourth line in Bakersfield in the American League. He did a great job. He bought into his role. And he goes, I think there's a little more offense there than he's been able to show. And we brought him over on a tryout, a couple-month tryout. And he's earned his way on the team. We've asked of him, with injuries and depletions in our lineup, to maybe play in our top six a lot more than we thought he would be in our bottom six. And he's done a tremendous job. And he's, 8 or 9 goals playing net front on our second power play unit. So he's been great. Vinny Vlabardi is a leader. He's a great guy. He's a warrior. It comes to play. Obviously this pace of hockey is, for all those guys, is a step up from what they see in the Ebel. It's faster and it's more skilled and it's more tactical. I can tell you that. But Vinny's done, he's come in and been a great leader for us. Been very strong competitively. And he's a veteran. He's been on been a captain of 3 teams in the American Hockey League. So he's been a great addition for us. And then, Colin Campbell just got here recently. I think he's trying to catch up to the speed. He's not, his skating has to get going a little quicker, but his hockey IQ and his compete level are very good. Good face-off guy and a good penalty killer. So, he's been a welcome addition, giving us a little bit more depth, especially at center. We lack centermen. And so they've been great. But as far as recruiting, when we started in July, we were behind the eight ball, but we were able to we changed the whole complexion of our back end. You know, we added Vinny, we added Zach Leslie, Kyle Wood, who was playing in Clagnol, but had been in the American League and was an NHL draft pick, played some NHL games, big right shot defenseman. Doyle Summerby from the American Hockey League, big left shot D-man, both, you know, great. We added Matt Jurcik in defense to complement Ryan Smith, or Jeremy Smith in net. And that's been the strength of our team. Up front, we added Jack Rodewald from the American Hockey League, who's played some NHL games. And he was in Finland, you know, so just a tremendous guy. And he's really helped us and some other guys through our lineup. So we were fortunate to add them. But we had some roadblocks, no doubt, with some other players. And even through November, December, when we were trying to add, there was a few agents and players that said, look, I'm not coming to Russia this time. I'll wait till next year and see how it goes. Some of the other teams have had that, but there's still a lot of Canadians, even a few Swedes in the league. You know, we added Thomas Yurko last month, a Slovak who's from the national team, who's come in and been a great addition and a really good guy for us. So, you know, we've been able to do that because there's a lot of guys that, you know, they just want to play hockey and they want to play at the best they can. And quite honestly, we've had NHL teams contact us about trying to place players here. So we're not so persona non grata as everybody would like us to think or like to say. We're just trying to get the best people and the best players here. And we've already had contact from some of those players that didn't come at first. They wanted to give North America one more shot and saying, hey, I'm ready to come now for next year.
When we look at the sportive side of things, and of course, it's something that the Unibet stats also show, you've already surpassed your win total as regards the last 2 years. In 2021, Kunlun won just 13 games. Last year, just 9. This year, already 16 with a lot more games to go. As it stands right now, you're, of course, on the outside looking in as regards the qualification for the playoffs. You're 12 points behind a playoff spot, but would you label what has happened so far a success already?
Well, I had a several hour meeting with my general manager tonight. I'm very hard on myself. You know, like there's a lot of players say I'm a tough coach and I push them hard. I really push myself hard. And I said, I'm a little bit disappointed. We've let a lot of games go in the third period. Yesterday was one. We were winning. We've been winning. And we feel part of that is our conditioning level. It's not where it needs to be because of training camp. There's a famous Russian coach that recently did a thing on TV and he said, the most impact the team can make on their season is training camp. You have 5 to 6 weeks to build your structure, your system, your fitness. We lost all that. But here we are. We're in the games every night. Our players have gotten better. We have guys having career years. We have guys that were minus 35 last year that are plus one now, or minus 28, and they're minus 3 at this moment. So he said, Greg, I see nothing but a win. He said, I think we've improved in every facet. I'm not as easy on it as I am. I think we could be better. I think we've let some games go, and the games we've let go would put us not only in a playoff spot, but several positions up. You know, so I look at it that way, but I see a team that's growing. When I watch video, I see us in really good structure and getting better in a lot of areas. And I give credit to our players. They've done a really good job on that and they're getting better and they're buying in and they're coming together. So I think we continue to grow and we get there. Last right after Christmas, you know, we were 7 points out of a playoff spot, I think it was, or 6. You know, now we're down to 12 because we've lost a few that we let slip away in the meantime. But we're hanging around. And, you know, I told guys, if we get the playoffs and that's our goal, we're going to be a dangerous team.
Now, as I've already mentioned them a couple of times, Unibet has, of course, a special offer for all new customers. It's a 400% welcome bonus. Just use the promo code HOCKEY-BONUS while putting in 10 euros into your new account for the first time and receive 40 euros for free. More details, as always, in the show notes of this podcast. And, you know, of course, Unibet by players for players. One thing that you've already mentioned that I think is interesting, that the league is you said more tactical than other leagues that you've been coaching in. How does that manifest, and how do you as a head coach try to keep up with that?
Well, it's a chess match every night. The teams are well coached, well structured. We see a lot of 1-1-3, 1-3-1 neutral zone and extended forechecks here a lot. Nobody plays man on man. I found in Central Europe there was a lot of man on man defense because it's easy. It's easy to teach. It's easy to do. There's none of that here. We all play, you know, the NHL style, the box plus one or the dice layer defense, which is a hybrid. Some different forms of forechecks. But what I can tell you is there's adjustments from not just night to night when you're playing each other on the pre-scouts. There's adjustments on a period-to-period basis. And that's the challenge. And the challenge for us, maybe not being the deepest, most skilled team, the most fit team, the biggest budget team, is, you know, we have to do those things just to stay in the games and stay competitive. And I think it's been a good challenge for me as a coach. I've also seen that this is a different style of hockey where instead of playing in straight lines, you know, going north and a lot of chipping the pucks in, what we see here in the KHL is teams will reload. They'll bring the players back underneath. They'll pull the puck back if they don't like the attack at the blue line. They'll bring a player or two underneath, give him the puck, and then he'll attack with speed one-on-one through the neutral, trying to dissect, you know, that neutral zone forecheck. And you know, even on the extended set breakouts in the neutral zone, especially in the second period, there's a lot of tactics in the second period because of the long change. You'll see a lot of teams stretching one or two guys, and they'll hit them with a tip, and they'll bring speed underneath, and they're tipping that puck to speed. And that attack with that type of skill is very, very dangerous. So we work every single day on our neutral zone defense and attacking, just trying to get better, and we've really improved it a lot with our guys and understanding it. But yeah, the challenge is almost at an NHL level, you know, in terms of staying into the chess match.
Now, the on-ice product, a fairly different one than Central European hockey fans and maybe used to. I'd imagine the cultural environment very different as well. You already mentioned that you were looking for or are always looking forward to meeting new people, seeing new cultures, experiencing new cultures. What was a moment that comes to mind first where you thought, okay, this is indeed different, interesting in whatever way?
Well, I can tell you, just to go back to that original part and maybe to the last things that I spoke, is it's no shot. There's some great hockey being played in Central Europe. You know, the Swiss league right now is at an all-time high. I think it's one of the best leagues in the world right now. You know, you see it. The German league is great. The win at home. I'm not sure what the name of it is this year. Ice hockey league. I get mixed up because there was three different names when I was in it and over the course parts of 3 years, but they're great leagues. They're really good leagues. But I can tell you that the speed of the game here, the skill level is tremendous. It's some great players and great speed, great coaches, great tacticians. And so that's the challenge. And it's things that, like, I look at myself, I'm no longer, and I haven't been for a while, you and I have talked about this, I'm not a Canadian coach anymore. I'm a Canadian on my passport. I'm an international coach. I've coached all over the world in the Champions League a number of times. I've traveled to different countries on my own money to just spend time with other coaches and watch teams. And why do you do it? How do you do this? Why do you do it? I've stolen. I've taken, I call it R&D, rob and deploy. I've taken those things and added it to my system, my teaching methods. And now coming to Russia, I think I've come full circle because I've gone to Sweden, I've gone to Finland, I've coached in Switzerland, I've coached in Germany, I've coached in Austria and Italy. And now here I am in Russia getting, you know, this type of game. I think I've come full circle and being able to I've taken a lot this year and added it. I'm like, I like that. I'm going to steal it. Oh, that's good. I'm going to use that. And I have a really good, like, I really enjoy my coaching staff here. I've got Mark Kumpel, who coached in the American American Hockey League, has been with USA Hockey. Mark, I followed Mark into Dayton when he left, and we've been friends ever since 1996, maybe going back that far. But and then I've added a guy that Austrian fans are going to know this name very well, Victor Ignatieff. And Victor was a great player for Linz. He speaks very, very highly of Linz, talks very highly of the Ice League. And we have great conversations. But Victor's a well-traveled coach, too. He's been in Davos. He's been in Dynamo Moscow, Vitesse, Spartak, the Latvian national team, Dynamo Riga. Very, very intelligent hockey man. And we have some tremendous coaching discussions and debates in our room, and I've taken a lot from him, and he's taken a lot from me and Mark, and it's just grown my coaching knowledge exponentially, and I'm excited about that, and I'm looking at my next adventure and saying, okay, I can't wait to get there and apply these lessons that I've learned and combine with my own style.
But if we go away from the rink, how much space is there for kind of enjoying everyday life? What are uniquely Russian experiences that you were able to make up to this point?
Well, I can tell you, I haven't had a lot of time. It's been a daily thing. I haven't had too many days off here. In the other countries, I've been able to know that Saturday or Sunday's off, I could go to dinner. We haven't had a lot of that. We live in a hockey base. It's at a hotel. It's a very nice hotel. I have a great suite. I get breakfast, lunch, and dinner there every day. Or at the arena, we have a full, chicken, fish, beef, pork, you name it. Everything's there, soup, salad. I can't complain about the food. It's been tremendous. But I don't get a lot of days off. I've only been down into the Moscow itself, four or five times. Well, maybe a bit more than that. I shouldn't say that. On my own time, I actually took some time over Christmas and booked a hotel and just went and stayed for 3 days right downtown Moscow and enjoyed the lights and the Christmas, and they do it upright. I tell you, they do a great job. But where I've been able to really enjoy the cultural side is the Russian banyas. And we have a sauna in our hotel, and we have one in our locker room. But the banya is different from the sauna, and it's a great experience. It's when we have one very close to us. You go in there, you have a meal, you have some beer, some wine, some water, and it's like a big log home on a lake, the one that we go to. And then you go into there, and they put pine needles on the sauna bed, and then they cover your head with a cold towel, and they beat you with these birch leaves, kind of a massage up and down, and then when you're done, you jump in the cold lake. And we even did it as recently as December. And then they wrap you in these blankets and cover your head to toe, and you lay on for about 15-20 minutes, and it's the most relaxing thing I've ever felt. And I used to do it when we went to Pavel Datsyuk's hockey school in Yekaterinburg. And when I left, I came home, I told my wife about this. I said, hon, when you jump in that lake and you come out, I have never felt more relaxed and calm in my life. I love it. And so coming back here, we've been trying to do it at least once a month. And I could tell you what an unbelievable experience. And I live for it. And in fact, I was trying to hope to do it when we came here to Minsk today, but it was too busy of a day. I really like that. I thought that the way that they do their Christmas holidays, although their Christmas is January 7th, they embrace the Western December 25th and put the lights up and wish everyone Merry Christmas, and they do it. So it's almost like a month long event here. And then their New Year's Snowman Golem is a really big night for them. It's a really big night. So I've really enjoyed that part of it. It's been very interesting. And I can tell you, I was blown away when I went to Kazakhstan there to see, that country and that city, how beautiful it was, just things you didn't expect. You're getting to see other parts of the world that are just gorgeous and beautiful, and all have a great love for this beautiful game that we play, and as much passion as anybody around the world.
Obviously, the Northerners just know how to do it. The Finns with their sauna, the Russian more or less equivalent that you've already mentioned, the banyas. But as of right now, as you're still located in Russia with your team, of course, one of the elephants in the room right now is that China has lifted all the COVID restrictions, regulations, and now that the virus is unfortunately running through the entire population and causing a lot of this. But eventually, I'd imagine things over there will go back to normal as well. Are there any plans for Kunlun to finally relocate to Beijing, or is that put on hold for the foreseeable future?
Well, I think there's been some talk over the last little bit of moving back there, and they would like to get it back in there to have a presence. Obviously, they had that beautiful new Olympic arena, which is where it would be based in Beijing. I think they have some great facilities for the club, and I think there is some talk of that. I'm not sure how that'll affect me. I have an offer on the table to look at. I've kind of been, you know, I haven't made any decisions, and I'm not sure where I'll be next year. It's good to be wanted, and I'm enjoying my time, especially working with the GM and the coaching staff that I have here. And the group of players, I really enjoyed it. But I think there's a lot of other things to think about in making that decision. So I'm gonna wait. But yeah, I think you will at some point see this team back in Beijing where it belongs, and you know, and it'll probably shift back to the Eastern Conference, and it'll be a different look for this team.
I know time is a valuable component, especially in your life. Because you're always so busy, so I'm gonna come to an end with this conversation here. But one thing that I talked about after recording a conversation with Mitchell Keefe a couple weeks ago, we kind of talked about you and him talking about how much he was able to learn when he was on your staff, and just the amount of people that you worked with that you coached and that you kind of influenced. At what point of your career do you start thinking about kind of legacy and people you were able to make better and influence?
Well, I appreciate it. I'm really proud of Mitch. I'm so excited. I watch some games this year. I watch all his scores every day. I'm cheering for him. I'm cheering for him because I think they're the underdog in that league. And he's done him and Max is the GM there have done a tremendous job with that team. They lose players, they replenish, they keep getting stronger every year. And I think Mitch has turned into a very good coach. And, but you know, like as I said, I tend to be a little bit hard on myself at times. And, you know, I look back at some of the relationships I have. I have a lot of great relationships with former players, but I had some where I've been hard on guys and I've pushed them, you know, and most of the guys that I do are guys that have challenged the structure and the discipline of the team, whether it's being late or not working hard enough. But I look back as I grow, and those aren't the things you set out to have in a relationship. You want to have fond memories and work with people, but your intentions and your job as a coach is number one, to be critical. You know, we have to always find the critical points and fix them. You know, the good points are the good points. They're going good, leave them. Let's fight. And so when you tend to have relationships with people, sometimes it can always be coming from a critical standpoint that puts a stress on the relationship. And, you know, that's not something that anybody searches out. But all those players that have come across, I have fond memories of everybody, even some that we've knocked heads. And there's guys like Sheldon Keefe, the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Sheldon played for me. And there's a lot of guys around the world that are coaching. There's equipment managers and PT trainers that are there. And I hold all those relationships so close. And I have a couple. I have a player that I really think fondly of who's coaching now, Jason Payne. Jason is now not the only Black coach in professional hockey, but was at the beginning of this year, he was. And he's doing an unbelievable job in Cincinnati in the East Coast League. And I call him my third son because I feel like he's one of my boys. And I'm just so proud of the job he's doing there. He was an all-star coach in the ECHL. And I think he's going to be, he may be the first Black head coach in the NHL. He's going to get there. And I'm sure of it. I'm excited for it. And I want to see it. And I'm glad that I've, you know, maybe been a part of helping him grow and watching those guys grow and that. And but I'm still trying to grow myself. I need to work on my own legacy. I'm not done. I have so much to learn. I have so much to get better at. I make mistakes every day. And it's in my work, and you can probably hear this in my voice. Where I want to grow is I want to get back to that young coach that I was when I had to work really hard at getting the players to play hard for me. And then I became this grouchy old coach that had to push everyone on, and this is how you're going to do it. You better do it or not. And it worked, and we got the championships and we got the finals, and it doesn't work anymore. And I got to grow out of that. I got to get back to being that guy that just a little calmer, a little bit more controlled, a little bit more, I'm a heart. I'll give a guy a kick in the pants, and the next day I circle back and I sit down and have a coffee with him. But, you know, just being less abrasive. And I'm growing. I'm still working on my own legacy. Never mind the other guys around me. I'm still competing against them. And I'm still here to try and win championships. That's my goal. My next thing is I want to win a championship. And I want to do it with a good group of people that are all on the same page, from ownership to GM to trainers to players to, you know, that have the same thing in mind, all about the team. And that's what I'm searching out. That's where I want my next step to be.
Sounds more than like a plan. So appreciative of you taking the time. So appreciative of you letting this little hockey podcast be part of your legacy. Wishing you all the best short term for Kunlun, and obviously long term wherever your journey or journeys may take you. Thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you so much for letting me catch up with you. Always a pleasure talking hockey with you.
Well, for me, I just want to say I appreciate the work you do. I love when we get a chance to talk football as well. But I just want to say to the fans, I met some good people traveling through Austria and all the ones in Italy. I miss you guys. I miss everybody. I miss those road trips into Vienna, to Klagenfurt, to Linz, to Villach, Innsbruck. It was unfortunately part of that time that I was there. I didn't get as much interaction as I would have wanted because of COVID, took the people away. But I miss Central Europe. I miss all the people there. And I know that you have a lot of great listeners, so I want to wish them a happy new year and hope that at some point we are able to cross paths again face to face.
Thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you, buddy. Take care.
Exzellente Unterhaltung mit dem schönsten Sport der Welt. Unibet Hockey.